January 27, 2007. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 67.
Express, and I'm talking to whoever's listening out there.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes. Just listen to the old Pork Chop Express and take his advice on a dark and stormy night, all right? When some wild-eyed 8-foot-tall maniac grabs your neck, taps the back of your favorite head up against a barroom wall, and he looks you crooked in the eye, and he asks you if you've paid your dues. Well, you just stare that big sucker right back in the eye, and you remember what old Jack Burton always says at a time like that. Have you paid your dues, Jack? Yes, sir, the check is in the mail.
I made myself clear. You were only to use violence. You were in danger.
MacGruber! Making life-saving inventions out of household material. MacGruber! Getting in and out of ultra-sticky situations. MacGruber! The guy's a friggin' genius. MacGruber!
Damn it, we're trapped!
That bomb is set to detonate in 20 seconds. What do we do, MacGruber?
Everybody stay calm. We're gonna make it out of here. Just do exactly as I say. Casey, hand me that paperclip.
You got it.
Jojo, grab that twine.
I'm on it.
Casey, gum wrapper.
Right here.
Jojo, that dog turd.
What?
The dog turd right by your foot.
I'm not picking up that dog turd.
10 seconds.
You heard her, Jojo. Give me the dog turd.
No, why do we need a dog turd?
That's my business. Now pick up the dog turd.
Just give him the dog turd.
You give the dog turd.
Yeah, Casey, give me the dog turd.
No, I can't. I'm keeping count. 3 seconds.
Fine, I'll get the dog turd. I just hope I have enough time to...
You used to be MacGyver, McGadget, McGimmick. Now you're Mr. McUseless.
It's bigger. Ladies and gentlemen, it's
finally ready!
Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here from the Pop Culture District of Mulberry, episode 67 of Nowhere in Mulberry. I'm trying to remember how to do the show, Steven, because we took last week off due to unforeseen circumstances, but we're back, and Steven?
You foresaw your circumstances, your big screen TV.
No, I was sick, Steven. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Oh, by the way, Steven, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The Pop Culture Zealot, how are you doing?
I was out. I was hurt from the car wreck.
Steven had a car wreck, I was sick and losing my voice, and I got a HD TV, all in the same, like, 48 hours.
Yeah.
By the time it came time to do the show, I was like, you know what? Nothing's prepared. Well, let's go ahead and introduce Bill here. Hey, Bill, how you doing? Mulberry historian?
Good. I think all those things fitting together really work well because the TV
off balances everything else. It's like
right. It's like it took all of our time on Friday. Basically, Steven helped me bring it home. Then we had to convert the entertainment center, and then you're messing with it. Next thing you know, the next day, just total exhaustion. It's like I'm not ready to do the show. I don't feel like it.
Well, you were sick whenever you guys were bringing the TV in and all that.
Yeah,
right?
I was sick when I went the night before Thursday to go buy the TV. The salesman's talking to me, and I have snot going down my face, and I'm like trying to keep snot. You know, it's like trying to blow my nose, and
I'm sore from the accident. I'm trying to haul off Jason's old ginormous 5,000-pound TV.
Yeah, Steven was in a debilitating car accident when he's. Oh, I hope you're okay.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, that is. He actually had a tape rolling. That's why you crashed. You were messing with your recorder.
Yeah, I was trying to record.
Yeah. Hey, what does it sound like when I'm driving in the car? But you're recording for your blog, right? Steven's travel blog, and that's what happens. But we're back here in Mulberry. We're ready to do the show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We don't have Vanessa. I can't reach her. I don't know what's going on. If anyone has seen Vanessa, maybe put an APB out on her.
Or a PB&J.
Tackle her and then call us, you know. Just we'll hopefully find her. I don't know what's going on with
maybe
Vanessa.
Call Carl Monday. He'll find her.
Yeah, he will. Hopefully.
Vanessa!
Maybe she'll call in during the show and we'll have her on the show. Nowhere in Mulberry, which is what you're listening to right now. We're back. We're ready to talk about our stuff. I got an HDTV. That's cool. I got a little bit. I don't know if I told you this, Bill. I don't know if it's buyer's remorse, but I felt guilt-ridden this week. I would just look at it and go, what the hell did you do? Did you really need this? Because it's not.
And then you go, well, of course I needed it.
It's not a necessity, right?
Yes, it is. I mean, definition
if you think about it,
is necessity.
But you got to think about it. Okay, I watch a lot
it's
of
entertainment
television for the show. Yeah,
it's entertainment for you, for your wife.
I love
for your child.
I love film. I love DVDs, movies. I want to watch them in close to reference quality as I can. Right.
Right. Yeah. And you already have a house, so it's not like you bought this in an apartment, and this is part of your down payment for a house or something.
Right. It was a really good deal on the TV. And another thing is I've been very, very patient waiting to get a TV like this.
God, I've been talking to you for years, and I always nag you like, hey, get an HDTV.
And the reason I did is because it was such a great deal. You know, around Super Bowl time, it's the best time to get a TV. You know, let's face it. Best Buy has one of those no interest till 2010 deals.
And which is awesome.
It is awesome, especially if you can pay it off in time, which we will. We'll pay it off before then. It'll be no interest. It's awesome.
Yeah, because
deal.
they had those 56-inch LCOS sets, the one that you got, and it was like $750 off the retail price.
Yeah, as I like to call it, LCOS.
LCOS.
Or Lycos, whichever you prefer. Liquid crystalline silicon. But what it is it was $1,749 with all the deals, and that's a great deal. There's this new thing, HDMI cables. It's instead of component, use HDMI, and it's the full signal or whatever, Bill.
Yeah, it's got a higher bandwidth than component. It has.
It's supposed to be.
It can carry video and audio at the same time.
It's supposed to be copy protected for Hollywood and all that. And the guy tried to sell me a $150 HDMI cable.
See, that's so funny because you can, you know, you don't need to spend more than $15 on an HDMI cable.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
And I said, no, thank you. I'm not going to pay that for that. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he goes, hey, I just noticed this. It's an open box HDMI cable for $99. And I just looked at him and I was like, I'm against paying $100 for a wire, for a friggin' wire.
A six-foot wire.
Yeah, it's a friggin' wire you plug into your TV. I'm not going to pay $100 for that.
You know? Like you're going to go, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
This wire makes it so much better.
And don't even get me started on friggin' monster cables. Hey, it's monster power. It's gold-plated. This thing is friggin', you know, look, it's solid gold and it plugs into your TV or... It's like, no, gold is for jewelry, all right? And they've done studies on this, cheap cables versus the super expensive. There's not much difference in quality.
The only difference is if the cable is shielded. because there can be some RF interference.
Yeah, you want to shield the cable.
Are shielded.
And like I've bought the acoustic research ones, real
and
cheap.
Those are perfectly right. Fine. Those are excellent cables.
And they're shielded.
And I got those because of you as well.
Yeah, they're shielded. They're gold plated. Buy a component cable for $15 versus a monster cable for like $75 or something, up to 100. Yeah. The Monster Cable Company, hey, I would love to work for Monster Cable. I'd be rolling in dough, right?
You think you are, because, I mean, are people actually buying them, or are they...
I think they are, and this is the thing, Bill. I saw a guy waiting for his TV, and he was holding that HDMI Monster Cable, and I was like, dude, he sold it to you, you sucker! He was like, oh, really? I need one of these? Duh, I'm going to take it. And that works on probably 99% of the people they sell TVs to.
And that's because they're just uninformed, and... It's just sad. Whenever
I felt
I see
bad.
That happening, I always have to step off and, you know, tell the person, like, listen, dude, you don't need that. You don't need to spend that
yeah,
kind of money
that's
on
why
it.
I felt. It's the same thing I want to tell people who you see buying full-screen DVDs in the store. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And just in
like,
case people...
I'm like, okay, in a couple of years, there's not going to be anything but widescreen TVs, and you're going to be pissed off because there's black bars on the side.
Yeah. I mean, just in case people don't know what we're talking about, when you buy an HD TV, you need certain kind of cables to get an HD signal from, say, your DirecTV box, your cable box.
Yeah, usually component it's... or HDMI.
And you can get those separately. You can even buy them at Target, like even like an RCA brand one.
Yeah,
for way cheaper than you will.
You can buy them at a grocery store.
Yeah, you don't need a monster cable, gold-plated $150 cables, just so everyone knows that.
Unless Monster Cable starts paying us to advertise for them. Then,
that's right.
Then you will
that's
need
right. You actually need an HDMI cable to listen to this show, in
yes.
fact.
And you have to buy it from us.
Yes, yes. Through our link on the site.
Yeah, I consider Monster Cable the same as Bose. It's all about a name.
Yeah.
You know, it's this perceived quality that's basically non-existent.
Well, also, you know, stereo is unnatural.
Stereo
Herbie
is unnatural.
Herbie Hancock's unnatural. Please, I can't handle this song.
No,
every time you play that song, I have nightmares of that video.
I know, it's a creepy video, isn't it?
That video and the Phil Collins or the Genesis video with all the dead
puppets.
Presidents, yeah, that freaked me out as a kid.
Here's some better music for you.
No, I feel like walking down a dark hallway.
Oh, that's another thing we were talking about. Our site, I put a donation box on our site for people.
Oh, you did.
Anyone wants to throw us donations, don't think, oh, dude, he just bought an HDTV. He doesn't need donations. The boy's rolling in dough. No, it doesn't work like that, all right? That sucker's financed, all right? I didn't put money down on it. No, but the reason I put it's a PayPal box on the site is just to pay for little things that we want to add to the show later on, such as better sound quality, perhaps better headsets, Bill, or a mix board, soundboard.
One of those little phone things so that we can do interviews, live interviews.
Yeah, a compressor so we can make ourselves sound like AM radio, things like that.
Nice.
I've already got my request to interview Eddie Deason in.
Oh, yes. We will interview. That's one thing we want to do in the upcoming year if we get something like that. How great would it be to interview Vince DiCola, Eddie Deason?
Oh, my God, yeah. I would just freak out. I'd be like a fanboy. Like, oh, Vince DiCola, you're the greatest man.
He's like,
hey. I'd make him think he was actually the greatest.
It's like, why didn't you do all of the Rocky movies?
Why don't you write more music? Your stuff for Transformers was incredible.
It's like, has Michael Bay phoned you about the new Transformers movie? How sweet would that be if he did the new Transformers? Hey, I'm gonna
read that he's done a song with Stan Bush for the new Transformers.
Are you
movie.
Shitting me?
It wasn't requested from him. They made it and sent it anyways.
You know, I'm going to say right now, I'd prefer that over Hans Zimmer's Bruckheimer-ish, you know.
Rehash shit.
Yeah, it's just the bum 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 bum. It's like, okay,
it's the
dude.
Gladiator score changed up for every movie
or,
since
Pirates of the Caribbean. Or
Armageddon.
Oh, wait, I don't even know if he did that. Klaus Badelt did that, but I think he's like a pupil of Hans Zimmer, so it's like taught him everything he knew. So he also does the bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. It's like what you got to do if you go to that school. But, okay, let's go ahead and move on to TV shows and stuff. We'll skip the movie stuff this week because we got a lot to catch up on. But before we do, we got a voicemail from a listener. Let's check it out.
What's up, guys? This is Mark86, other known as Ed. So, loving your show, or that new intro with that whole Eugene guy making that weird voice of his. Is this somebody y'all know, or just for fun? Because either way, whoever did that did great. Vanessa, you're awesome. And Mulberry Bell, Mach86 still better than you. Bye.
What?
Thanks for calling into the show. Thanks for listening, too. And sorry your show got canceled. I love that show on
NBC.
And
Eugene is a friend of the show.
Let's just say Eugene's a friend of the show, and he's veiled in mystery. Let's say that.
We have to keep him that way so he doesn't get a big head.
Yeah, he definitely... We don't need to hear more from Eugene than we already do. Probably like once every 6 months now. That's perfect.
Eugene has a friend that has a big enough head already.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into entertainment. You know what? Let's go ahead and get into the TiVo. How about that, too? Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, before we get into Heroes, which returned this week, the Heroes, before we talk about Friday Night Lights, before we talk about two stellar episodes of Smallville, before we talk about five episodes of 24, no, I'm telling you, we're going to skip over a lot of that. We're not going to talk about five episodes. We're going to...
And BSG.
And we
got
some
Metal Star. You know what's funny, though? About 24, those five episodes could have easily been fit into two.
But we'll get to that later. Before we do, Bill, Beauty and the Geek. There was a crazy Beauty and the Geek, and I don't watch the show, but this some bitch went all crazy.
See, you need to watch this show.
Maybe I
because
will.
It's just, it's heartwarming. It really is.
Now, let me play this clip of this chick, this beauty, going crazy.
Well, that's debatable.
And then you explain it to me.
Your teammate? He is a brat. Nobody has any respect for a guy like that.
Niels was really, really emotional during the staircase ceremony.
Cece and Nate.
Sorry. Because he goes to Berkeley with the hairy, disgusting hippies. He can cry his little eyes out. I'd feel like a piece of garbage, like about that big, like a 5-cent recycling can. And that's what he can do in Berkeley crap town.
Birthday crap
pays
town?
Share a dorm room with another piece of junk. Do not say anything to me, Berkeley junkhead.
She really junk doesn't know how to insult people, does she?
No, she really doesn't, though.
Piece of crap See, head.
What happened
Five
on the prior episode...
can. Only in Vermont.
Yes. I don't like that cheese. Those cows from California are way too happy.
He can cry his little eyes out. I'd feel like a piece of garbage, like about that big, like a 5-cent recycling can. That's what
5-cent recycling can?
Well, first off, she's drunk off her ass. She's got that natural light beer.
Is she from Minnesota?
She might be, eh? The prior episode, these two, Niels and Jenny Lee, won the competition, and they had to pick both teams to be put up for, you know, elimination. It was really hard on Niels because he didn't want to put up this one team, but he knew he had to strategically. So he was really bothering him, and he started breaking down while he was doing it. And, you know, you felt bad for the kid because all these guys are getting along really well. And then this girl in this episode just goes off on him because he cried. She's just really, she's an insensitive bitch.
And she doesn't really know how to go off on someone, it sounds like.
No.
5-cent recycling.
No, she's like one of those obnoxious drunks.
Yeah. But not all women. Some women are a lot of fun drunk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
St- Steven knows that.
Now, speaking
I've been there.
Speaking of belligerent drunks.
That's what he does whenever he goes on his business trips. He goes and works on computers at hospitals and then gets women drunk and takes them back to his...
Hey, it's alive, baby.
Those crazy nurses.
Now, listen, guys. American Idol is back. And it's been back for a couple of weeks. And it's all the same stuff. Paula and Simon arguing. Paula seems medicated. Let's check out some...
And Randy saying, dog.
Yeah.
What up, dog?
And it already looks like no one is putting up with Simon's crap. Let's check this out.
With the greatest respect, what's it got to do with the competition?
We're not talking about the competition right now.
Well, then don't bother.
Oh, excuse me. I'm giving...
You don't need to. It's not a career line.
Well, the cameras can go off then, and I will give him constructive criticism.
Yeah. Meet him after the show.
You're such an...
I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
We'll write him a letter.
Oh, you know what?
We'll send him an email.
Do you... You're a bad boy.
So you're anyway, boy. Carol, let's continue on. Let them
I said not right for the competition.
Ah, sorry.
Jerk.
No.
Ooh.
Jerk.
But as always, this is the first few weeks of the show. I don't know. Was it like a month, 4 weeks where they have the auditioners?
Three. I think it's three, maybe three
weeks. Yeah, and it comes on two nights a week, right? They're auditioning the people. There's like a lot of bad people and then one good one per episode. Sometimes
it's
two.
Mostly bad people.
And there's this one guy, this one redheaded dude, and
the guy that can sing highs and lows.
Sometimes there are gems amongst the auditioners. Let's check this out.
Okay, who are you as good as, in your opinion?
The lead singer from Queen.
Freddie Mercury.
Yes, yes, sir.
Really?
Okay.
Is this the real life? Or is this just fantasy?
Uncanny.
Wow.
Call it a
this is Freddie Mercury singing,
no,
right?
No escape from reality.
I love how they're like snickering as he's singing. That's
gotta suck.
Like,
but you know what? It's just.
Real life? Oh, is this just fantasy?
I love that. He turns it into like an opera. Or is this just fantasy?
And what? Did you see the girl who sang like the Cowardly Lion? What's that?
Oh my god, that was freaky.
Let's check that out.
Regal robes for us with the satin, not cotton, not chintz. I command everything, be a fish or fall with the roof. In the royal
yeah. Any comments?
But what am I supposed to say?
They're just like dumbfounded.
I was like, how do you even think that that's passable?
And this is, you know, I've always thought it was horrible how, I mean, basically, these people are auditioning, so they're asking for it,
right.
And they're made fun of. So it's not like they're big victims or anything.
Well, you know where I have a problem there is they always show at the beginning of the episode how many people were there to audition. They have stadium full of people. And then you've got to realize that there's basically two evaluations. You know, first the person goes and they weed them out. So basically these judges, they take the worst and the best and move them on. So these people that are the worst probably have an idea like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
moving
they're
me on. I get to audition for Simon.
They're like, you know what? We're going to let you audition for them. And you're like, oh, my God. And then you go.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a second. They only wanted me to audition because I'm entertaining because I'm so bad. That's
or
what it was.
Bizarre looking. Like that girl that did the Cowardly Lion, I mean, good Lord, I've seen some big women, but that was a big woman.
The one thing I love is when they're leaving, they almost show them they're always flipping off the door as they leave.
Yeah.
They're like, get that camera out of my
cousin
face.
Cousin Simon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, American Idol's back, and I think we're done with all of the bad people now, and we get to the Hollywood stuff, which is always better. You know, I actually enjoy watching it sometimes to see, you know, what they're singing or, you know, just the talented people.
Oh. This is usually when I tune out. But you know what?
I have a hard time sitting through all the bad people.
It gets dull after a while. Now, before we move on to Heroes, I just want to briefly mention The Apprentice because there have been two episodes since last time we did the show. And, you know, there's not much to go over. Just, there seems to be a lot of homosexuality this season. No, there is. Before you guys freak out, what I'm talking about is, like, they did a fashion show, and the gay guy designed these little shorts on the runway. Yeah. And he was like, this is perfect for a man. He's like, it's for a gay man.
Yeah, it never left anything to your imagination, that's for sure.
And then what did they do this week? It was the tours.
I don't know. I came into the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did the, like, the star tours where the tours, that was a tour, a sightseeing tour. And I can't remember. There was something they said about gays again. And I was like, what is it with this show and the gays? But anyway, we'll get back to more of The Apprentice next
week. Something exciting happens.
Right.
Donald Trump doesn't like the gays.
Oh, I think he does, but he just isn't into the pink shorts. I remember he's like, I'll wear a pink tie, but I won't wear pink little short shorts.
And those were really disturbing.
And what about when Trump thinks he's funny? He goes, by the way, I'm in great shape. And I know I'm in great shape.
I could wear those shorts and you could wear those shorts, but not most of America.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, snicker. Oh, Donald, he's so funny. He's like, no, you're not funny.
It's like, you can't. Most of America doesn't look like a bodybuilder. Yeah.
Donald wants to wear those shorts so he can show off his male camel toe.
But I like, nice. But I like this week the chick quit. She was like, I, you know what? I don't want to be fired. That's what I think it was. She didn't want to get fired. So yeah. She quit. And they're like, you're going to regret this the rest of your life. She's like, really? I'm not. This is a game show, okay?
Get me out of here.
I like how she said she couldn't handle the outdoors. Donald said what I thought the whole time with him complaining. He goes, you're sleeping outside a mansion in 70-degree weather. It's not really that bad.
No.
If you want to work with me that hard, you will go through this. And I agree with him there.
People going into the military, you know.
It's like, what? You're sleeping on the mansion grounds, these manicured lawns with roses and stuff.
Guys getting $25,000 a year to join the military.
And I like how they show those sinks filled with crud and stuff. It's because they're not cleaning them out. You can easily tip it over and then hose it down. It's not like, oh, look at the squalor we're living in.
Yeah, clean after yourself.
Yeah. I mean, give me a break. Okay, Heroes is back. And I watched it this week in high definition for the first time. And let me tell you guys this. Oh, my God. This show looks so awesome in high def. I mean, seriously, I think the it's not done on film, is it, Bill? It's filmed in
HD. Yeah, it's shot on film.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, I believe it is.
It's incredibly detailed. That's why I was like, this has got to be high def cameras. Because then they show afterwards Studio 60, and that looks like it's on film because it's not as detailed. Maybe it's just how they process the film and stuff like that. But this is a beautifully shot show, and when I saw it in widescreen and the composition that it is and just the lighting, like, I didn't even notice this before. Maybe it's because I'm so into the show, you get wrapped up in the plot, but like scenes in Texas or kind of this kind of yellow tint, and then in New York it's kind of a blue tint. The different locations, they kind of tint them differently, like in Nikki's in the jail cell. And it's just a really well-done show. What I'm trying to say is it's photographed beautifully, the show.
You're
is.
Right. It's shot on HD video.
Okay, yeah, that's what I mean, it's just so detailed. And Crossing Jordan is, too, and Tim Kring does that also. And I'm thinking that's why they look so good. Okay.
All right, well, thanks.
I'll just let everyone know that. Okay. Okay, Heroes is back, and Peter Petrelli is in a coma, he's comatose or something. And they didn't say coma, I don't think, which is good. Because you should never say
comatose.
You should never say coma on primetime TV. It just has a cheesy quality to it, does it not?
Yes.
Yeah, it's soap opera-y.
He's just unconscious. He wakes up, where am I? All right, tuning out, click, you know. Now, Nikki, she's in jail because she turned herself in, and I'm not sure that was such a wise decision. But what the one I love the touch that she's in jail and guards are bandaged up. They've got black eyes because
they're
still
afraid of her.
How did you love? How much did you love that when they go to the cell and it's like six guys? They've all got their batons. They're like, okay, come on, you got a visitor. They're all like scared shitless of her.
It's like if they beat her that bad, she'd be in solitary and she wouldn't be allowed visitors. You know,
right.
She'd beat any guards.
I know, and I thought that was really well done.
But
and we also see that. HRG, horn rim glasses guy. Does he have a name yet, guys?
Mr. Bennett.
Mr. Bennett.
Yeah, it's like going. Yeah, it's like
John Bennett. Let's just call him Mr. Bennett. He's got still got Siler, and Siler didn't escape, but Eden's dead, right?
Right.
See, I didn't understand that because
I thought she shot herself and Siler would have escaped, but he didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Was he just too drugged or something? I don't know.
I don't know what happened with that.
I think we have a little continuity error.
Maybe they'll explain to us what happened. Maybe she...
Well, if you think about it, maybe that whole area is locked in and it's just a glass between, but he couldn't get out of the locked door area or something.
Maybe so. Maybe he was weakened. But now they're pumping him full of drugs and he's just got this giant cockroach next to him. And I don't know if we...
This is his best friend, buddy.
Were you guys thinking the same thing I was? Like, maybe... Is he telepathically communicating with the cockroach?
He's putting all his powers into the cockroach.
Cockroach is going to climb up the wall and hit a button and release him or something.
Yes.
So anyway...
Conversations about the war in Waterloo and Napoleon's mistakes.
And we also have Claire, who's pretending to have her memory wiped. Like, hey, Dad, what happened to this? He's like, well, I just found you outside the bleachers. And she's just like, wow, my dad's a liar. And I thought
that moment where she makes the face as she's walking out of the kitchen after that conversation.
It's just a dick. It's like, man, what a dick. He's so full of crap. Just like we all thought our parents were when we were teenagers, right?
And now she knows she can't trust him.
Haitian guy. She's pleading with him, can you make Zach my only confidant, my only friend that I had that I could communicate with? Give him his memory back. And he's like, my power doesn't work like that. Sorry. So she has a great idea of just doing it all over again. You know, showing him everything. I thought that was a cool touch. That way she could become friends with him all over again.
Yeah.
Will we find out if he's gay or straight now? Have you guys been reading stuff like that? There was apparently an abandoned storyline where they kind of wanted to make him gay, but it was almost like the network was like, no, don't go there. So they had to drop it. So now he's just kind of this ambivalent character.
He's asexual.
But now Zach, the actor who plays Zach, got the part as John Connor on the new Sarah Connor Chronicles, the new Terminator show on Fox. So eventually, I don't know, is he going to be killed off Heroes or she's just going to end up leaving Texas and we won't see him anymore? I don't know what's going to happen. We've got Hero. So he decides he needs the sword, right? And so they go to the museum. And I love it. He's realizing that his powers are fading. Everything slows down, but people are still moving.
Yeah.
That was great. I love he grabs the sword. And, of course, they see the dinosaur. You know, he's got the sword. And I love he pulls it out, and it's a replica sword.
It's not even a full sword. It's just wooden.
Yeah, what did it say? It was the Linderman group, right?
Yes.
Who is this Linderman dude?
He's a dude out in Vegas.
Who is going to play Linderman, do you think? It's got to be a known actor, I would hope. I hope it's not some just... I hope they get somebody good to play Linderman.
Maybe it's George Takei.
You know what they need to do?
Now George was going to be Hero's father.
They need to get...
Yes, but wouldn't that be a mind screw if he was also Linderman?
They need to get Donald Trump to play Linderman.
Linderman!
I was trying to think of somebody good to play. That's a good idea.
Would you like to borrow this sword I bought, Hero? James Caan from Las Vegas. Ugh.
Oh, my God.
So,
what happened to Sonny?
Yeah, he goes to talk to Isaac. Nathan Petrelli shows up with Simone, and he's got to talk to this guy because obviously he's starting to figure out. He's like, first of all, on a show like this, he shouldn't treat people like they're the same because he knows he can fly, right?
Right.
He knows that. I mean, I don't know if he knows for sure. Maybe he thought Hero was insane, but obviously Hero's got powers. And now he's starting to believe this Isaac guy has powers. What does his brother have to do with all this? He thinks his brother's going to cause the destruction of New York. So they go there and talk to him. And I love when Hero sees him. He's like, Flying Man! That was great. And I love when he's like, keep your voice down. He's like, whoo. It was like,
Flying Man.
Yeah. Hero and him always have good scenes. It's really...
Masioka does so good on this show. It's just...
he really does. And I can't wait to see what they do with his father. I hope that's good. I thought this was a very slow pace. This is one of those episodes, and this show, more than any show, I think, I'm sad. I was like, it's over already? Are you kidding me?
Well, they said that,
I think I said to you that night after the show, I wish it was 2 hours long.
Right, which is cool. And there's also the part with Matt Parkman where he raids the paper factory, and they find nothing, of course, and I love her. He's like, I'm going to find out what's going on here. I'm going to get the bottom of this, and I'm going to take you down. And I love how he goes, good luck with that. And he just has a smirk on his face. It's like, oh!
There's something so cool about that delivery that it just made me laugh.
Good luck with that. They show Peter in the hospital, and he has visions of everything. Then all of a sudden, there's this dude standing there.
Sees him sitting there grabbing people's food off the table, and nobody's noticing. He grabs money and wallets.
And he's like, hey, dude, hey! And it's like, dude, you're in New York. Doesn't that happen all the time? Just let it go. And then you figure out the guy is invisible by the shot. And apparently Peter's invisible, too, but just by being around him. And this is the first time they've brought up what we've kind of thought. What will happen to Peter if he's around too many superpowered people at once and absorbs? And maybe does it overwhelm his body?
Right, that's probably what put him in his comatose state.
Being around Siler, Claire.
Probably until he can learn how to control his absorption.
That's what I'm thinking is going on with him.
I think that's probably what the storyline is going to be with the Christopher Eccleston character, him learning how to control his power.
Hero is definitely the star of the show in a way, but Peter also. We need Peter. Him missing this week. We need him every week, I think, on the show.
Yeah, Hero is the idealist, and Peter is more of the realist.
Right, because we know whatever happens in the big scheme of things this season has to do with Peter. So when he's laying there asleep, it's like, dude, wake up. We got to figure out what's going to happen this season. That's the way I felt.
How many times can we see that dream?
Yeah, and that's what I felt like watching this episode. I was like, dude, wake up. I need you to wake up now so we can get this story going.
We need this storyline.
And I loved when how they introduced the invisible guy character, and I can't wait to see more of his stuff. I thought this was a good episode. We figure out that HRG, he realizes that he can't do this alone. And he pays old Mohinder a little visit in his apartment. Let's check it out.
I don't even know if she fed you.
Huh?
They eat crickets. Lots of crickets.
Okay.
You.
Hope you don't mind. I let myself in.
You come to kill me now?
He should have said horn rim glasses guy.
Depends.
That's right.
I'd like to talk to you about Eden.
She worked for me.
Don't you mean Sarah Ellis?
She gave up that name and that life a long time ago, and she was a good person.
Yes, of course, all spies are very good people. Just misunderstood.
She cared about you more than she should have. She was special.
She had an ability. What was it?
She was hot.
I was just going to say that.
Not everyone has these abilities deserves them.
And who are you to judge? In fact, who are you, period?
I made a mistake.
I'm HRG, Horton Rim Glasses
guy. Time ago.
You've been spying on me for weeks. In India, my cab, bugging my phone.
We need to help each other,
the
Dr.
bathroom
Suresh.
Too. What?
Why would I help you?
The toilet cam. I saw that line.
My father's research.
My father, he knew more than you do.
From what we could observe, yes.
If he'd been watching
Bill,
me, you know
whenever he says father's research, you got to take a shot.
The list.
Okay.
That's a new drinking game.
This is a matter of grave importance.
You've come for it? You want to find them?
Why do you seem so worried? Are you on the list? You've no doubt realized things can go terribly wrong with these abilities.
If you work with me, we can control that. If and when I do figure out this list, the first thing I'm going to do is warn these people about you.
Together we could actually make a difference.
Sorry, not interested.
I just want to exploit them.
It's like, man, at least weigh the options for a second.
The access number's on the back.
The access number? Could that tie into some kind of internet thing? Maybe. If you go to primatechpaper.com, it's an actual website, and you could apply for a job there, Steven. But you need the special code. So call the phone number on the website.
Is that how you get the code, is if you call the number?
Right. I like when they do stuff like that. And basically they're taking, I mean, it's another Lost influence thing, because Lost did that whole Hanzo thing. And it's really cool when you do stuff like that, I think.
It occupies the watchers of the show, brings them more into the fold of the show.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to say this more than any other show.
There needs to be a way for you to be able to add your name to the list.
That would be sweet.
That'd be a cool gimmick.
And you know what? It asks for your name in the email. Maybe they do that. That would be sweet if on the show you see your name. Oh my God, I got powers.
I'm on the list.
I'm the best
TV watcher, couch potato. That's my power. I'm stuck
I'm
to the couch.
I was killed by Siler.
I got HD vision. Everything I see is in high definition.
Isn't that way naturally? I hope so. I got an astigmatism, a super astigmatism.
My eyes aren't quite all the way round.
But do you guys agree with me? But from the first episode to this one, what is it, the 13th episode? The show has gotten like better with each new episode.
It gets better. I think it's just a good show.
And it's gotten, there have been some cheesy lines and stuff, but it's gotten, the writing's gotten tighter. And I think it's gotten a lot better. And another show whose its writing has not missed a step in my eyes, and it's been a great show, is Friday Night Lights. We've talked about that before on the last episode, and I hope people just give it a try. I'm going to almost say one thing I'm disappointed by is NBC.com took down all the episodes. They have like the last four or five up there now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had all of them on before, so they just took them off?
Yeah, maybe it was too much bandwidth for NBC. I don't know. Don't they have money coming out their ass? Come on.
They should.
Yeah, they couldn't get sponsors for them and keep them up?
Bill, you and I wanted to rewatch them and do a whole show on that. Now I can't.
Well, I'll just have to send you all of them.
Great show. I just want everyone who listens to the show, if you haven't watched it, just watch one episode. You don't even need to know the continuity. The show is so well written. The characters are so well defined. They're all going through their own thing in the show. Like, for instance, the running back Smash. He's been, you know, you can almost say there's cliche-ish type storylines, like the running back who decides to juice up.
But it's handled in such a realistic manner that it's completely believable.
Right. He wants to do the steroids, right?
Yeah, he wants to support his family.
But they do
the
show.
He had a bad game. He got scared, so he decided he'd juice up.
He wants to do so well in his career that he can support his family. His mom finds the drugs. She goes straight to the coach and says, "What do you have my boy doing?" And he's like, "I don't know anything about this." Because she figured her son wasn't dumb enough to do this on his own. He had to have been forced to, which wasn't true.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's such a great scene. And you think it could easily be cheesy. She kicks him out of the house because he's disrespecting her, right? Well, he comes back with his tail between his legs, really sad. And he says, "I made a fool out of myself and I disgraced his family." She's like, "You know what? My house right now is just fine. You just be who you are and stop trying to be something different." And I thought that was so well done and not, and it could have easily been cheesy, and that's what's so great about the show.
And I'll bring up an old TV show where they had the same kind of storyline, was 90210.
Right.
Oh, God.
Where they did they tried to do the same thing, but were you talking about on the cheesy line? Right. That was cheesy done. This is more realistically
done. His mother could easily be that stereotype of like, "Don't you talk to me like that, boy." But she's real person.
Good.
She's really, her character's so well defined. She's such a good character. And the way she pretty much tells him that, you know what, when it comes down, you're my son. I don't care about football, money, any of that. I want you to just be who you are. And, you know, if we could have all of our parents tell us this, that, like in that manner, just be like, "Damn, okay."
I think there would be a whole lot less problems in the world.
Yeah. But, okay, here's one of my favorite things on the show, besides the quarterback, Matt Saracen, and his girlfriend, who's the coach's daughter, is the coach himself and his wife. They go to some dinner with this lady who's running for office, right? What did she want to
be? She's the mayor. She's the current mayor.
She's the mayor.
She's running for re-election.
She's running for re-election, and it turns out they figure out that she's alternative lifestyle.
That was great.
And she offers his wife a job, and he's like, "Well, you've got to tend to my needs. You got to tend to our daughter's." But I love it. He's like, "You got to tend to my needs." And she goes, "Oh, and you have so many needs." He goes, "Yes, I do." She decides to take the job, and she shows up at school. And I love this conversation they have. This tells you how well the writing is. This is a very realistic conversation that couples do. And I just love they have such playful banter. And they get mad at each other, but you can tell how much they love each other. Just check this out.
"Why are you interrupting my meeting?"
"I'm sorry.
I don't appreciate that.
I apologize. I'm interrupting your meeting."
Come on now. I'm busy.
"All right. I wanted to come down and I wanted to tell you that I have decided that I think I'm going to go ahead and join Mayor Rodell's campaign."
"That's great.
I It is great. Honestly, it's great. It's a great opportunity. I'm going to be able to help our school. I'm going to be able to help all the schools in the community, in the whole county.
I'm sure she realized how good you are. I'm sure she realized also that you're the coach's wife. That'd help out with the campaign.
Oh, you think that's why she asked me, because I'm a coach's wife?
I didn't say that.
That's exactly what you just said.
I don't like politicians. The other night, that little reveal at the dinner and everything, just hear me out here. Something like that gets out in this town, that's not going to do her any good, and it is not going to do anyone any good that is close to her. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, so you don't want me to do this because she's a lesbian?
I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm uncomfortable with it.
Well, you know what? You're going to just have to be uncomfortable with it then.
It's never a dull moment with you.
Well, that's why you married me, sugar.
I guess so. I don't quite remember why I married you, but there's never a dull moment with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have your support.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you have a great game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So happy to have your support. So pretty much I'm taking it and you just got to deal with it. That's the kind of stuff I love on the show. And there's a whole subplot with Tyra trying to get her mom a job at Buddy Garrity's. And they
Buddy
have a
Garrity Chevrolet.
And how great was that scene? They have a blowout on the side of the road and they're trying to change a tire. And her mom's like, I can't change tires. I don't even need to change a tire. I need a boyfriend to take care of me. And she says, if we do not change this tire by ourselves, our lives will be ruined. Because you need to learn to change this tire by yourself, and you need to go get that job.
You know what was great about that scene is there are so many women in the world that are like that, are so acclimated to not being alone. They come into this like pathetic state.
And what... And Tyra, she's saying that, Mom, I don't want to be like you, and that's what I'll be. All I see is you bring one crappy guy into our lives after another, and she depends on these crappy boyfriends to pay the bills or whatever. And she's like, you got to get a job and support yourself.
It was my old roommate. That was one of his signature moves when he was dating a girl, to show how handy he was, changing her oil, changing her brakes. Oh, hey, God. Let me change your oil. Your oil needs to be changed.
It's like, yeah, oh, he can really take care
handy.
Of him.
He's
handy. Yeah, he's handy around the house. But I love when they finally get to Buddy Garrity's. He's like, I'm sorry, that position's been filled. And she's like, oh, okay. And then her mom walks in. He's like, well, you're Tyra's mom? Well, come on into my office. I'll give you a talk. And she's hired immediately because he thinks she's hot. And she's like, Mom, did you talk about salary, benefits, anything? She's like, no, I just have the job. Aren't you happy? And off she goes.
I think Buddy Garrity just recognized her from Fletch. Decided, you know, I'm a huge fan of Fletch. You're hired.
And I love, she's like, let's get drunk. She goes, oh, yeah, that sounds good. So her and her mom are going to get drunk. And there's a great scene also. I mean, I keep saying that great scene. Oh, here he goes again.
The entire show is a great scene.
It is. There's a guy in the wheelchair, Jason Street, and he's all uncomfortable because Buddy Garrity's setting his wife up, or his daughter up, Lila, with some guy, college boy. And he's like, hey, Jason, I got to tell you the truth. I want her to be with a boy who's normal, someone she doesn't have to take care of in a wheelchair. He basically puts it bluntly. He's like, yeah, he did put it bluntly. I have to hand it to that. And his friend's telling him, well, those guys are, Buddy Garrity's are kryptonite. They're our enemies in life.
And that's absolutely correct. That's not, because my father's in a wheelchair, and he was really affected by that scene because people automatically think because you're in a wheelchair, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah,
there's,
like you're broken.
You're not, yeah, you're not into, it's like the word. They a lot of times they refer to paraplegics as invalids. And if you look at the word, it's invalid.
Right.
And it just makes a person feel so much more worthless than they already feel. And that I just hate that, how they attack the independence of people in wheelchairs thinking they can't do everyday things when they absolutely can. It's
right.
A little more difficult, but you can still do it.
And Jason Street, I mean, he's always going everywhere all over town. He's challenging
exactly.
himself. And I love at the end where he's like, Lila, I got to talk to you. You think he's going to break up with her like Buddy mm-hmm. Garrity got into his head, but instead he proposes to her. And I thought it was a really good scene.
Yeah, it was. I got a little choked up during that scene.
Good stuff, man. Friday Night Lights, please watch it. If you're not,
yes.
you're missing out because I don't know how good a ratings the show's getting. I'm going to say right now, I'm not expecting it to be back for season two.
Yeah.
I wish it would, but I'm not expecting it. So I'm just enjoying it while it exists now. I hope it can complete a full season. I hope that...
Well, they gave it a full season order.
Right.
So we know we're going to get a full season.
I'm just afraid they'll cancel it or something. It's going up against American Idol, which really sucks. Because this show was so much better than American Idol. You've seen American Idol for how many seasons now? You've been there, done that. How about some good drama? Some Friday Night Lights? How about that instead?
Some nice scripted
something you can
work.
Watch with your, you know, your teenagers.
Right. And another show you can watch with your teenagers, Smallville, baby! Now, before we get into the latest episode titled Labyrinth, let's talk about Justice for a second. Now, this is the episode where Clark meets the Justice League, pretty much, the founding members. We got the Green Arrow, we got Flash, or Impulse, which is Flash's son or something.
I have no idea.
Don't know.
We've got Cyborg, who was in the Teen Titans. What the hell is he doing there? We've also got Aquaman, who has nothing to do.
Who just smiles.
Now, I remember talking about this, like, it would be, you know, this show, we make fun of it, but we also love it and stuff. And I was thinking, how cool would it be to bring these characters together with 33.1? The villains would escape or whatever. They'd take over. There'd be so many superpowered. They need these guys to unite and overthrow all these superpowered bad guys, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. All it is, Impulse.
Gets captured.
Beaver from Veronica Mars.
Yes, who was a psychotic killer.
He gets kidnapped trying to... He gets electrocuted plugging in a flash drive into some Lex laptop.
Yes, you know how dangerous those USB flash drives are.
Yeah, especially a booby-trapped flash drive. And so he has him in a cell where he has to keep running or he'll be electrocuted. And I love how they show him in slow motion. He's sweating like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh,
when is this over?
So you know what? This is a job for these superpowered people to unite. It was nothing special at all on this episode. I'd heard things like, oh, they're saving up the effects budget. They're really going to go all out on this episode. No, they're not. There's nothing special. In fact, it was just retarded.
They blew up a CGI building.
Yeah, and they have this horrible...
Retarded.
About the underwater swimming scene.
They love the witty banter. Okay, here's the scene. Clark goes to visit and meet up with some old friends. Let's check out the witty banter between all the superpowered guys.
How long have you guys been working together?
I joined up about 6 months ago. Ali and Bart had already been doing their thing.
What about your girlfriend, Catherine?
Dude, don't even go there.
She gave it her best shot. But with all this hardware in me...
I'm sorry, Victor.
Ali found me, I was living on the streets. He gave me a warm meal, roof over my head, and a reason to go on living.
Nothing better than a homeless superhero.
Did he just say something nice about me? Maybe he's starting to rust.
AC, oh, how'd you fall into all this?
Starting to rust, get it?
Got into a little trouble sinking a whaler off the coast of Japan.
A little trouble? That's what you're going to go with? Ollie had to save your scaly butt from getting filleted.
I would have gotten out of it.
But on
Really, before or after they packed into 1,000 little tin cans?
Well, at least he would have been dolphin safe.
Oh, fish I can't even say it for that.
Fish jokes. So how's Lowe's doing, man? Is she all right? I think you'd have to ask your boss.
Your boss
not
is boning
time. We need to focus on locating Bart.
And how exactly did you get him involved in this? He's never been much of a team player.
Well, looks like you two have something in common, huh?
God, that's horrible.
So then I love the part where Chloe's like, oh my God, on the schematic, this green here is meteor, kryptonite. I hope Clark notices it. So he's like, huh, I can't use my x-ray vision to look in this room. So let me open it up and run all the way in the room and then look around. Oh no, it's kryptonite. And he falls to the floor. So then they got to save Clark too. And they do. And they get Bart out.
Bart.
And okay, let me ask you guys this. Is the whole explosion while walking away from the explosion in slow-mo tired? Is that
tired?
Shot?
It's already asleep.
How many
it's
movies?
Snoring in bed.
They show you walking and then you don't even blink an eye. That's how badass you are walking in slow mo.
We need to research who first did that.
I want to see like a rod or something go like right through your chest, glass going to your head or something.
Some big tire falling down from the sky.
They're so
crushing,
you know. I want to make a whole clip of movies where you're walking away in slow motion and you're badass. Because you don't even care that there's an explosion behind you.
You know, it's like you said earlier, I expected this thing to be like a two-part episode or something where they break in and then, you know, they unleash all the 33.1 people and they have to break out of the place, you know, fight their way out.
It was such an uninspired story. Really lame. Oh, and here's another thing that disappointed me. Green Arrow's gone. He left at the end of the show. What the hell is that about? I know this is Smallville and you need Superman, but I liked having Green Arrow around, you know?
You know what? Even though he was a horrible actor, he brought, like, a certain levity to the show.
We couldn't have that now, could we?
There was all that, you know, the stupidness of Clark Kent. And then the actual hero-ness of Green Arrow kind of like made up for the fact that Clark Kent is such an idiot.
And I love at the end they're like, hey, Clark, we're forming a league, or we're going to go fight crime, we're going to do this, why don't you join us? He's like, oh, you know, I got the zoners, and I got to do
well,
that.
Well, shucks, Ollie, I got things to do.
I go, okay, hey, Clark, you're super-powered. You can go to the other side of the world in a blink of an eye. You will be back in time for bed, all right? You'll be back in time to eat dinner with your mom. All you got to do is come with us. We'll find 33.1. We'll beat up the bad guys. You'll be back in time for a nap.
Even if you're there for
two or three days. You're super powered. You could be gone for 2 days out of a week, couldn't you? But he's like, no, you know, I got to sweep up the barn. And
I got to take care of Shelby, my dog.
Shelby, the zoners.
Thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
You will be missed, Green Arrow. You brought something to the show. I will miss you. And now, I think we said what our piece with justice. Am I right? Mm-hmm. There were some great lines in the show. And
but it was ultimately a gigantic turd, a disappointment.
It was a disappointment. And I'd like to hear from the people who really liked the episode. And tell me why you weren't disappointed by it, because I thought it was a huge letdown. I've already said it's completely uninspired. Anybody could come up with a better storyline to bring all those heroes together than that.
Yeah.
When he goes to visit Ollie, and you got Aquaman there and Victor, Cyborg, they're all just, he's like sitting down reading a paper, Aquaman, he's just like chilling out.
About fish.
Yeah, he's like...
Yeah, it's like they're at the office having a day of work.
Yeah, hey, we're doing some important work finding out this 33.1. It's like, yeah, whatever. And they always have Lex go back and forth from this maniacal bad guy to this tender guy who's in love with Lana and he's going to have a kid. And okay, Labyrinth. Incredible episode.
Mm.
This is like...
So deep.
Now, we talked about we needed good writing. We got it this week.
Oh, yeah.
Clark, he's playing with Shelby in the barn. What's that, Shelby? You hear something? What's going
on, Shelby? Here, go fetch.
He gets shot with some kind of dart or something. He wakes up in a mental asylum, Steven. He's already been telling everybody, yeah, sure, you're Kal-El, you're from Krypton, the zoners. And it turns out he's just an insane guy.
With no powers.
Yeah, that's what I thought the whole time. They had me convinced.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And he meets this guy, and he goes, I love you. He's like, Clark, I believe you. Kal-El, son of Jor-El, I believe in you. I'm from Mars. It's like, hey, it's John Johns. Yeah. And they even had the whole fire thing, like, whoa, were you going to catch on fire? Because, you know, the Martian Manhunter, his weakness is fire, right?
Yes.
So here we go.
I like how they go, isn't Mars the planet of fire? No, that would be Mercury, isn't it?
It's like,
it was just so bad the way they came out with that.
It was just a whole paranoid schizophrenic episode, right? that Clark, he starts to doubt himself. We have creepy Lana like, Clark, what's the matter?
Yes, but when he started doubting himself, it was so funny because Tom Welling cannot pull off the solemn thing.
And there's a great scene, though, Bill. He goes to see Lana, and he's looking for his mom, and he finds his mom at the mansion, and she's married Lionel. And he's like, oh, my God. And the guards come in, and he runs away. And a car pulls up just in time, and he looks in, and it's Chloe with a shitty grin on her face. And you just see him give this goofy flash of a smile. It was just so awkward. And she even he's like, and she's like, come on, I got my hideout. And he goes, no, I got to go find Lex. I got to talk to him. She's like, are you sure you want to do that? You want to go back to the lion's den? Well, here, take my Yaris.
Yeah.
It's like, why did you mention the name of your car? Just say, take my car. Here, take my Yaris. It gets 13 miles to the gallon.
It's the same one Hero drives.
Yeah. Yeah, take my Nissan Versa. What was that about? Just like... So I love it. He goes to visit Lex, and Lex is behind a, Friday Night Lights pulls off the wheelchair thing well. Not so much on Smallville.
You know what it is? Lex is in, he's a $1 billion guy, and he's in one of those hospital-grade chrome wheelchairs.
And I love the reveal. He's behind the desk. He goes, oh, yeah? Well, I'm in a freaking wheelchair. Look what you've done to me.
And I was waiting for Tom Welling to go, Lieutenant Dan!
How great was this scene? And you know what? It shows you, this scene did show me this much. Michael Rosenbaum, he acts in circles around Tom Welling.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check this out.
You really think you saved me? Well, then, let me refresh your memory.
Such creepy music.
This is the car red.
This is a trick. It's a trick!
Really?
Pick a car.
Open your eyes,
car.
You crazy son of a bitch! Does this look like a trick to you? If there's one thing I regret in my life, it's that I didn't just run you over.
It's very well done scene. Very shocking. Lex was missing his legs. So, basically, it turns out Chloe was in the institution with Clark, and she's shot, and it's all sad, but he's got to learn to, basically fight his demons, and the Martian Manhunter tells him he's got to kill the doc to get out. And did you like the scene where he's sitting around, and he's starting to believe it, and he sees, like, the book called Fortress of Solitude, and it says, Occupancy 331, and there's a little stand that looks like 33.1. The what was it? The Employee of the Week or something? What was that?
Oliver Queen.
Yeah, everything was something to do. There was the Jor-El hand soap. He's like, oh my god, it created all my mind.
Jor-El hand soap.
Antibacterial.
Instead of Jergens, it's Jor-El.
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, oh, I thought he used Dial. And then wasn't it kind of bizarre to the fact that Clark totally did not question the creepy Lana character?
She's like, Clark, we can finally be together. It's like, bitch, you freaking me out, all right? The way you be talking.
And he just didn't even question it. Like, she's that creepy in real life.
And then when he wakes up and he snaps all of it, it turns out that Martian Manhunter sucks up the zoner for him and he's gone and Shelby's all right. And he tells Chloe how much she means to him. He's like, I realize how much Lana means to me. He's like, what? You didn't realize that maybe you don't need this bitch in your life? Yeah. That's what I got from it.
Crazy girl tracking you down, trying to get your brain cut out with some sort of... It looked like a drill, enormous conical drill.
And I love, like, at the end, he's like, Lex, it's good to see you out and about. And he's like, well, Clark, it actually sounded like you meant that for a change. And cut. Awesome scene, guys.
And it's a wrap.
And there's the scenes to next week and blah, blah, blah. It looks like...
And that one looks even worse than the past 2 weeks.
Lois, I think I love Smallville. I love Clark. So, let's see what happens. I always have to say this because right now Smallville fans are like, well, they just hate the show. No, we don't. I don't hate the show. I love it.
But it's good fun.
It is a lot of fun. It's no Friday Night Lights, though.
I mean, the writing leaves a little
what
bit too.
What I did
desire,
like about I liked
it.
About this episode is they did something that they don't usually. They didn't just have a zoner of the week. They decided to do some creepy mental in Tom Welling's noggin episode. So
I wonder if it was directed by Tom Welling.
No, I looked for that. It was directed by a guy I've never heard of. So when's the Michael Rosenbaum directed episode going to happen, or is that already happened?
Probably after he does the sequel to Sorority Girls.
Yes. He was great in that.
He's great in everything.
Hey, Bill.
What? Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
Whoa.
You don't have to get nasty.
Wait, Steven, are you nodding off there?
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
What?
Is this the real life? Oh, is this just fantasy?
Fantasy!
It's not my fantasy.
So, okay, 24. 5 hours of 24. Let's just kind of, like, go all over the place. I don't need to cover the whole plot. You know, basically...
Well, let's start from the beginning. There's terrorist attacks, and they need Jack Bauer, so the Chinese turn him over for a hefty trade. We don't know what that trade is yet.
Yeah, we have not found out yet. Could be very shocking when we do.
And he looks like Grizzly Adams.
Right.
And he's very shy.
Wayne Palmer is now the president. It was David Palmer's brother. And at first I was like, they wouldn't have elected that guy. But then I thought about maybe the John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy thing. They
wanted
somebody.
George Bush Sr. and Jr.?
Yeah, they
wanted.
Wait a second. They elected him based on his brother. Right. Yeah. And he's definitely not his brother. He second guesses everything. I mean, of course, what we love about the show is Jack Bauer kicking ass. And for the first time, we see that he's really shaken from being tortured for how many, 20 months or something?
Yeah, quite a while.
He's all jacked up. And they got to get him right into the mess. They're like, sorry, Jack, you got to give your life for the exchange of this information. And it turns out that that's bullshit. And they're going to kill Jack. Not until Jack rips out a dude's throat.
With his mouth.
I was like, oh, yeah! I was like, awesome! That's what I love about 24.
You know what I thought the moment I saw that? And I know this is going to sound bad, but there's other people that thought it, too. Was I thought of the Lost Boys.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
The moment I saw him do that, I was like, oh, cool, he's a vampire.
But see, if it was like Lost Boys, he would have bitten in the top of the guy's skull, and you would have seen the blood go like a beer. Maggots, Fayed. You're eating maggots. There's all this stuff with Will Stronghold from Sky High. And Kumar is his neighbor.
Yeah, that was... I couldn't even believe a single bit of that with
I
Kumar.
Love the casting on the show, by the way.
Like, who went, let's get Cal Penn, because he could play a really great terrorist kid.
No,
he's
but
really
you know what? They did do a great
acting.
They did do a great thing there, Bill. And that's what I love about the show. They showed that agents were taking his dad away, accused of being a terrorist. Mm-hmm. And naturally, his neighbors are like, hey, you leave that man alone. He's no more a terrorist than I am. And you see the other guys from down the street, they want to beat the crap out of Kumar. He's like, get away from him. He's not a terrorist. I'm not a terrorist. Leave him alone. But the guy is a terrorist. That's the little twist. He is a terrorist. And I like how they did that. And he's kind of a bumbling terrorist, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he smokes a lot of weed with Harold.
Yeah. He just got back from White Castle. So basically, let's get down to it. A nuclear bomb goes off in L.A.
Yes. While they're entering the building to stop it.
Yeah, I love the dad. He's like, no! I thought that was really cool. It's a good, shocking thing.
Right.
But that's not
too.
Before. I forgot about Curtis. Jack has to kill Curtis.
Right.
I would have said, hey, Curtis.
AWOL.
I wish he would have said, hey, Curtis, you can kill the guy after we're done using him, okay? But right now we need information from him. How about that? But instead he shoots him in the throat, I think, like right below the throat and the sternum.
Sternum.
And Curtis
I'll
shoot
him like
dead.
Right above his collarbone, right in like his jugular to the...
He shot him in a place where he couldn't recover
from. It was a surgical strike.
And Jack feels bad about it, and right then the nuclear bomb goes off. But the latest episode... He's back. Jack is like, you know what? after
I thought
this,
just before the nuclear bomb goes off, he tells him, he goes, I'm out. I can't do this.
Yeah, he did. And then the bomb goes off, and he's pissed again.
Yeah, he's like, I can't do this anymore. How many times do I have to save Los Angeles? I'm moving to Anchorage, Alaska, okay? So basically, this Fayed guy's like, okay, my guy who was building the triggers, I think they dealt with triggers last season, too, for the Centaux gas.
Anytime there's a show that deals with any sort of triggers, it makes me think back to Die Hard whenever he had the
detonators. I need those detonators, yeah. So they do need those detonators, and they have this, what is it, a Russian dude or something?
Right.
And his hot blonde hottie that's with him.
So he goes,
we'll have to use something high tech, actually, because that stuff's old school and nothing like that exists. And it turns out, through CTU and Chloe's computer, we got another Chloe back. Just as adept at computers as Chloe from Smallville, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
With a computer that's just as fast, also.
And they both know how to reroute the sub-server.
Yes. Yes, they do. And they do it so well.
I want to learn how to do that.
And it turns out Jack Bauer's dad is on a list of guys who've communicated with this guy who's dealing with Fayed. That's very interesting. So this is the first time I've heard any mention of Jack's family.
Yeah.
And it turns out...
Well, we had a little shocker of who his brother was also.
Yeah, they reveal his brother, and his brother is Rocket Romano from ER, also known as Emil from RoboCop. The guy who gets doused in toxic waste.
And he was in Fame. I can't remember his name in Fame.
Yeah. Did he have the bottle caps?
The red afro.
Yeah. Jeez.
Oh, genius. Love it. Love it. So he's his brother, and his brother's acting very suspicious. The whole time he's like, Jack, hey, great to see you. Hey.
I'm not a terrorist.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything illegal. And it's like Jack's like,
Meth lab in the back, huh?
And I love it. First thing he does, they go into his office, and he's like, punches him in the face. Yeah. But how great was that, the scene with Rena Sofer, his wife, who's obviously nailed Jack before they got married.
Yeah. But also, didn't you get the vibe that that kid is Jack's son?
Right, yeah. And my wife even turned to me and she said, is that Jack's son? And I was like, probably.
Yeah. It's just so sloppy.
So if it is, that's cool. Whatever.
But Kiefer Sutherland's acting, when he looks up the stairwell at Rena Sofer in this, like, puppy dog forlorn look.
You know what? I would look at her like that, too, honestly.
Like, how old is he? 16. We were together 6 years.
Yeah. It's like, I hope this kid's not any worse an actor than Alicia Cuthbert. Good God.
But he doesn't have her breasts.
So here's a scene where Jack has a little talk with his brother.
Have a seat.
Fine.
Okay. So what are we doing here, Jack?
My father used to do business with an ex-Russian general. His name was Gordanko. Do you know him?
No, it must be one of the old guard. You can't believe some of the drinking buddies Dad's cultivated over the years. Oh, there was this one time we were down in Venezuela. This was before Chavez.
Great. I didn't come here to listen to your stories. I'm serious. I need to find Dad.
Okay, we will. Boy, Jack, you can never just walk into a room and get along, could you? I mean, I know, you know, you must have gone through hell in China and everything, but... Look at the bright side. You got out. You're here. You should just relax a little bit.
Oh, nice punch.
Tell me to relax, son of a bitch.
Relax this, buddy.
I'll pull your fucking tongue out.
This country or dying. I need some information. Are you going to give it to me, or do I have to start hurting you?
Actually, you're hurting me now.
Trust me. I'm not.
Nice. That's the way you deal with your scrawny
little
brother.
You know he's serious whenever he puts on that that whispering grumble.
Can you just picture Jack as he was a kid beating the shit out of him all the time? That's why he turned out rotten. You always picked on me all the time, Jack.
Especially I'm not telling you anything. I'm not a tattletale.
So then
I think it's funny that Jack says, you know, do you know the name, this Verchenko? You know, he's a old Russian military. And the brother's like, oh, you never believe the drinking buddies that dad has.
Yeah.
Like an old ex-Russian KGB guy. Yeah, he's just a drinking buddy.
Basically, what it's set up is that we're going to see his dad, right? Donald Sutherland, maybe? No. James Cromwell. And that's good casting. I don't mind that. He's a good actor.
Hey, at least somebody can act on the show.
Basically, what it's like, the first 10 episodes of 24 don't resemble the second 10. This is for the rest of the season. It's like Fayed, he's not the main bad guy. We're going to see somebody else. You know, and there, it even on the previews for next week, Chad Lowe comes to visit.
What is it?
It's Chad Lowe taking this Sean Astin part.
Yeah.
The pseudo celebrity fill in.
Yeah,
because they're doing the same thing on Monk. They're bringing in celebrities.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't mind that. I would, if I was an actor in Hollywood, I would want to be on 24. It looks like a fun show.
Well, I think it probably even revitalizes some of the people's careers.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, hey, look, I'm still alive.
Didn't 24 won for best drama in the Emmys last year, didn't it?
Yeah.
I believe it did.
Yeah.
It's a very well done show. How'd you like that helicopter rescue? Pretty dramatic, huh? Jack used a piece of old antenna to pry the door
open. To pry the door open.
Awesome.
And then, even though this helicopter had already crashed into the house, when it falls 10 feet, it explodes.
They moved the president to the bunker.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know about you, Bill, but that's a nice bunker. I'd probably live
down
there.
I want one of those bunkers.
I'd live down there all the time.
With the Oval Office facade.
Yeah, I love that. It's a great show. I can't wait. I mean, well, there's not a lot of talk about. They haven't spelled everything out to us right now.
I feel the same way about 24 as I do about Smallville. You know, for me, it's not the greatest written show, but it's just so much fun to watch.
I love the kills on the show. Jack needs to kill some more people. He's been falling off.
He's what, two so far? Or has he done more
yet? Not many. Not many.
I mean, he bit the dude's neck, and then he shot the...
Yeah, he shot Curtis. They shouldn't count that as a kill, man.
Kill's
that was
a kill.
Just a really
Curtis!
Back misunderstanding.
All right, that's 24 this week. We'll be back next week with some more. What do you say?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do some beat. Oh, okay. I guess Foggy's ready to do some BSG. Battlestar Galactica. Let's go ahead and do that now. What do you say, Steven?
Okay, BSG time.
All right, BSG, baby.
You're such an jerk.
Whoa.
Hey.
Steven, you're nodding off again.
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
I'm not crazy.
All right, the Battlestar Galactica. What do you have to say about that?
Good episode.
Is a story oh, is this just
there was a karaoke competition aboard the Battlestar Galactica.
I love whenever there's ground assault with Cylons and they're shooting them and stuff, throwing grenades. That stuff's fun. That's a lot of fun stuff. There was a lot of weird mystical Cylon stuff here with Deanna.
Yeah,
did you like
they
that?
Deactivated her unit.
Basically, she sees the face of God, which is five...
Or it's the five unknowns.
The final five, as they call them.
Yeah.
And we just cut forward to that. She sees them in white robes. Bill, I don't know. And sci-fi doesn't have the best picture quality. I'd like to see this episode in HD. Maybe I can make their faces out.
Yeah.
But Deanna says...
I think they were actually just English druids from the Middle Ages.
Because what Deanna says is like, oh, if...
it's you.
I'm sorry if I had any idea.
Yeah.
I meant no disrespect. So it's like... Who has she been mean to on previous episodes? And I was thinking she almost executed Callie, didn't she? They set up this weirdness with Starbuck. This is after the end.
When is there ever not weirdness with Starbuck anymore?
Where she made these paintings as a child that turned out to be the eye of Jupiter.
Same with the
Chief.
The Chief, yeah.
There's some kind of weird stuff there.
Yeah, both of them have become mystical in their own rights.
Now,
to tell you the truth, the mystical stuff kind of turns me off of the show.
I'm just like, it's because it just pops up every once in a while. It's not all the time.
It's kind of like trying to lay a foundation, but
it's almost just like on Lost when they bring up the mystical stuff. All of a sudden, the island's talking to you again. I thought it was just others. Oh, okay, we're back to that. Remember how in the cliffhanger we were just talking about how lame it was with Apollo and Anders arguing over who goes to find Starbuck, and I just thought it was lame. But then he tells Dee to just go find her, and she's like, "Okay, my husband's ordering me to go find his mistress, basically his wife." Yeah. And she finds her, and her hands are, like, look, jacked. Severely jacked.
They're burned so bad she can't even peel her gloves off.
And she keeps injecting her with Morpho, which I believe is morphine in the Battlestar Galactica universe.
Yeah. You're fracking right.
And she teaches her how to fly a raptor. That was awesome.
You know, nothing like a little bonding between a wife and a mistress.
So here's the big thing on this episode. Sharon, or Athena is her new call sign, she begs Hilo to kill her, so she will rez on the Cylon ship. She does, and she wants to see her daughter. And her other model, Sharon, is a bitch. She's talking about snapping the baby's neck. And I love that, how Caprica 6 snaps her neck. They come back to Galactica. And now, all of a sudden, Caprica 6, she's a prisoner, but also they set up when Deanna, after she sees the final five, she's blind, and she dies. So she rezzes back on the ship. Then Gaius Baltar, he's captured, and I like that scene where the chief hits him in the head. Welcome home, Mr. President. And so he's now, so basically they're all on Galactica now, so that's an interesting setup. And then what do? Brother Cavill, he decides they're going to box her memory. Well, they've talked about that in a previous episode. When a model is faulty, what they do is they box their brain pretty much and put you in storage, cold storage. And he goes, "We're taking your entire series offline."
Well, why can't they just like say if it's so much like a program, why couldn't they just load another program into that same body?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I guess maybe the body is faulty and that's causing.
Yeah, it's interesting that that you're conscious and you're just locked in a prison. That's kind of frightening, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the fact that they've talked about Sharon's model as being very rebellious. So each of their models have different traits. Like, I think the Leoben is creepy stalker guy. The Kevin Spacey model is just Kevin Spacey-like. That's his model quirk.
They designed me after an actor in the 20th century.
I act just like Kevin Spacey, and I'm just as gay. That's exactly.
I'm not gay. I just love my mother.
Exactly. So that's what's going on. It was a really good setup episode for later on. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I like the Cylon shooting and all that. Now they have the baby on board. Thank God.
Baby on board. Maybe they should put one of those signs in the window.
Now, were you guys hoping? I don't know about you guys, but I kind of dread any kind of marriage storylines, pregnancy storylines. But they got the baby now, and I just want them to have the baby and not make a big deal out of it.
I'm waiting for the Madcap Adventures. Who's going to watch the baby?
You're right.
And they're like, Mr. Mom.
Now, what is this baby? What is its powers?
The baby can sense the real Sharon. The real Sharon's essence.
Yeah. It immediately knew who its mother was.
Yeah, it got quiet, regardless of the
looks. They got to be very careful with that. They can't let the baby have powers or something. I don't know what's going to go on. I have no idea what's going on in this show, but, I mean, the effects still look awesome. How cool was that when the planet went supernova and all that? Pretty cool. Oh, and by the way, Steven. Some dramatic music there. Steven, stop nodding off.
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch.
Awesome.
That's a great clip.
That is such an jerk.
Well, that's BSG this week. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, can I say this before we move on? I hate Battlestar Galactica being on Sunday nights. It sucks. By the time you hear this episode, you have already seen the new episode, and you won't even care about us talking about that episode.
Same with Heroes.
Oh, why are they talking about this? I just saw the latest one. Well, it just sucks. It's the way the schedule is. Totally sucks. And
Deal with it.
And I still haven't watched Dresden Files yet.
Me neither.
All right, before we do the news, Steven, you got to take off, right? You got a little dinner date?
Yes, sir.
You got one of those online match things?
Mm-hmm.
eHarmony.
I've downloaded a robot.
Nice. Sex bots.
Sex bot 2000.
Nice.
Those are a lot of fun. I don't know why I know. But.
Which version did you download, Bill?
I think it was revision 2.2.
The Lucy Lawless. Cyborg.
Yes, a dirty, filthy cyborg. All right, Steven. Take care, man. All we'll see you next week. Hopefully
everybody,
you stick
I'll
around.
See you next week. Bill, Jason, later.
21 gigawatts!
And I'll join you next week.
All right, man. Have a good one. Drive safe.
Bye-bye.
Do you want me to see you out or anything?
See all right. You out.
Oh, you're going to forget your beverage. Your tasty beverage. Bill, did you know that Cops is in high def?
Yes, I did.
What is that about?
I know.
See you later,
Steven.
Of all
the shows to be in high def, now you can see the toothless people in high definition.
I mean, it is kind of neat because it's that handheld stuff.
Yeah, so it's real sharp.
All right, Bill, well, I guess it's just you and me, no Steven.
Well, I guess we're going to have to just make the best of it.
I think we can handle it. Let's do the news.
Can cry his little eyes out. I'd feel like a piece of garbage, like about that big, like a 5-cent recycling can. And that's what he can do in Berkeley Crap Town.
I love how she can't quite get out the word recycling. She's like,
recycling can. She sounds like she's from Minnesota. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news this week?
Well, let's start out with an interesting little story out of St. Louis. An outing to sell Girl Scout cookies turns dangerous for a St. Louis firefighter and his daughter. They claim that an elderly neighbor chased them with a loaded shotgun. Teddy Teeter says that on Tuesday night, he took his 8-year-old daughter around their South St. Louis neighborhood to sell Girl Scout cookies. It was supposed to be a fun outing for the father and daughter. Teeter says that after they knocked on the front door of one neighbor's house in the 4400 block of Hamburg, it was the scariest time of their lives. At first, the veteran St. Louis firefighter says he didn't think anyone was at the house. As he and his daughter were leaving, Teeter says that a 78-year-old woman opened her door and pointed a shotgun at him and his daughter, then chased them with the loaded weapon.
Whoa.
I can just see that in like a Benny Hill episode.
Are you going to eat your tots?
He and his daughter ran for their lives. No one came to the door when News 4 visited the home on Thursday. However, someone was close to the blinds while they were there. I guess they're going to file charges against this crazy old coot.
Nice. I guess she's not a fan of Thin Mints.
I love Thin Mints.
Oh, me too.
I like Samoas, too. Samoas are really good.
You know, I only like Thin Mints. And you know what's funny is recently it's been the Girl Scout cookie time of year where you load up on them. And my wife knows I love Thin Mints, so she brought home like 3 boxes. I ate like a whole box in one sitting, and I got so sick that I will never eat Thin Mints again for the rest of
I did that with the with their shortbread ones. I like those a lot. I think that's what's wrong with you. That's why you're sick. That's why you're losing your voice. It's all that thin mintiness.
I've been poisoned by Thin Mints.
They have that plutonium 810 in it, like that Russian spy.
Nice.
Get this. In Dublin, Ireland, an Irish convict who stole a car to get back into prison after missing a weekend release deadline has been given 6 months suspended jail sentence. Trevor Doyle, 25, grabbed the vehicle after falling asleep on a bus and overshooting his stop near Shelton Abbey, near Shelton Abbey Open Prison in Arklaw on Ireland's southeast coast. The court, which would not reveal the man's prior conviction, also fined him €300 for failing to submit to a breathalyzer. So this guy misses his bus stop, gets off, and goes, oh, shit, I need to get back to jail, so I'll just steal this car.
Nice.
What an idiot. He's so desperate to get back to jail that you steal a car to get there. I wonder if he got there and went, this car is stolen, so
Yeah, what is he just going to park it in front of the prison?
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just leave this here. No one will ask anything.
Some Malaysians are very happy in Kuala Lumpur after they have finally caught a 7.1 meter long, that's 23 feet, python that has swallowed at least 11 dogs before it was finally discovered by villagers.
He's nice, guys. Let's do it.
I was shocked to see such a huge python, orchard keeper Ale Youssef told the New Straits Time in an article published beneath a picture of the captured snake, which was almost long enough to span the width of a tennis court and as thick as a tree trunk. Villagers did not harm the snake, which was tied to a tree, then handed to wildlife officials. Holy shit, I would have chopped that head off of that thing. There's a picture of them holding it, and they're all smiling like it's the greatest thing in the world.
Show you what is that. Ta-da!
It has its mouth open like, I'll swallow you all.
Good lord, I had to see that.
It's just a beastly looking snake. Try and get one more story here. In West Babylon, New York, a man operating a payloader at a Long Island recycling yard accidentally killed his own father.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Luis Marquez, 25, was unaware that he had hit Miguel Marquez, 58, until he saw him lying on the ground early Friday, police said. The six-foot wheels of the payloader, or the front-end loader, were taller than Miguel Marquez, the Suffolk County police detective said. If you get in the wrong spot, you're not going to be visible. At transfer stations such as the Omni Recycling Plant, where the accident happened, is loud and it's dirty, and it's a tough place to work, Mike Hellstrom, business manager of the Laborers Local 108, a union representing the cycling and waste industries, said. The Federal Occupation Safety and Health Administration was investigating, and a man who answered the telephone at the Omni Plant had no comment. So that's kind of suck.
You're really enjoying this, aren't you, you sick bastard?
A little bit. I think that's news for this week.
That's it? And you know, before we end the news, you just showed me a story that had me very upset, and that's about, you know, we talk about before about shows that are good that don't get a chance.
Yeah.
And ABC is already, are they pulling the plug on the Knights of Prosperity, or are they just deciding not to order any more episodes?
Well, that pretty much means that they're pulling the plug if they don't order the back nine.
Right. So are we going to get to see more episodes, the final whatevers, or is it over?
Yeah, I don't think ABC does that, where they just take it off the air like NBC does.
So basically we will see the rest of the episodes they've made, and then it's over after that.
That's what I'm assuming.
Because, you know, the show is growing on me each week, and it's funny. You know, at first you're like, oh, man, this is a little stupid. In the same vein as I think, like, Earl, it's got that silliness to it.
Yeah. This week's episode was terrific. It was really fun.
I love the big black guy, Rockefeller. He's the guy who makes me laugh every week. He's got such funny lines.
Rockefeller is great. When he said that he wanted his name to be Zero Cool on his fake ID.
No, Liquid Cool.
Or Liquid Cool.
He's like, this is like one of them M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Yeah.
And there was a line before with the chick. What's her name?
Esperanza.
And she was like, he looks like the Bowser from the Sha-na-na. That had me rolling.
I love that.
Anything with a Sha-na-na reference is gold in my book.
Especially a Bowser Sha-na-na reference.
He looks like the Bowser from the Sha-na-na. I just thought that was awesome. Genius. Well, I'm going to watch the rest of them, and I'll miss it when it's gone.
Yeah, I hope, I don't know. It looks like it's going to get canceled.
I'll savor it while it's still around, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it won't hurt as much as Ed did when it was canceled.
At least Ed got four seasons.
Yeah, this got 13 episodes.
Okay. So, Bill, we got any DVDs?
Yeah, let's do some DVDs.
It kind of sucks. We got no Steven to sing the song. I'm going to try to do it, crap. I guess. Here we go. Let's do some DVDs. What do you say?
Let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. DVDs! DVDs!
It's not the same.
No, it's not.
DVDs! Steven!
DVDs. Oh.
curse you, Steven, for your dinner dates.
Yeah, if he was here, he'd be sleeping anyway.
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
That's right. I mean, come on. What am I supposed to do? He's not here to sing the song. We need that recorded just to play it.
But what am I supposed to say?
I'm surprised we haven't done that.
I know. We'll talk about laziness. Foggy, get to work on that. Jesus. We need somebody else to sing the song in backup if he's not here, I guess.
Is this Maybe the we can... real
Yeah, we need this guy.
Oh, is this just fantasy?
Fantasy.
All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
All right, we're doing DVDs for January 30th, 2007, starting with a excellent television series that was canceled long before its time, and that is Acapulco Heat.
Oh, nice.
A homosexual area.
Well, I wouldn't call it homosexual.
Can I tell you something, Steve, Bill? I watched Acapulco Heat.
So did I. There were some hot chicks on it.
H-E-A-T. It stood for something. It was like, what was that, hemisphere or something? What was that? What did that stand for? It was so funny.
I can't remember.
Heat stood for something, and it was so bad. I just remember the first word is hemisphere something, and I was like, are they kidding with this code name? But it had hot chicks on it. It was like the redhead was always in a bikini for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, damn, I'm watching this stupid show.
The redhead had that, the like real full lips, and she was just gorgeous. And then the blonde wasn't bad either.
I remember her name was something Armitage.
Yeah, Allison Armitage.
Man, she was hot. And for some reason, Fabio was on the opening credits, but I never once saw him in the show.
No, Fabio, I don't think he was ever on the show.
In the opening credits, he bursts down a door. They show him kick down like this plywood door like he's super strong or something. Oh, it was great. Dude, I got to look on YouTube real quick. I got to see if they have the theme song to this.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, great song.
I feel the heat, too.
Nice little piano thing going on.
That's Herbie Hancock.
I love she's holding two guns. She's got the biggest thing of cleavage you've ever seen. Catherine Oxenberg was in it. Let's see if they'll tell us what it stands for.
Sweat.
Oh, Allison Armitage. Crawling in a ventilation system for some reason.
Well, you know, you need to climb in ventilation systems once in a while. Clean them out.
Come on,
what? I wonder
what?
If that lady feels the heat.
Yeah, I'm thinking she does feel the heat.
Oh, yep, she does.
Now, come on, what did it stand for? I gotta know. Oh, whoa.
She mixed it up there.
Oh, Hemisphere Emergency Action Team.
Oh my god.
Man, this song
hemisphere
is rocking.
Hemisphere Emergency. Which hemisphere?
I have no idea. I guess Acapulco.
The Acapulco Hemisphere.
Hemisphere Emergency Action Team. And you always gotta have the guy falling in the pool in the opening credits. That's just comedy gold. Oh, and here we go. Fabio is for some reason on the show. He's signing a clipboard. It shows he's important. Oh, and John Vernon is Mr. Smith, the guy who gives them all their tasks. Awesome show. All right, so tell me about this box set that's coming out.
It's just the season 2 set. If you missed the season 2 of this syndicated television show, you might want to pick this up.
You know what? I am going to pick it up because I want to feel the heat.
I want to feel the
That's a great song. And you know what? It's weird because the way theme songs are now, that one's like 5 minutes long or something.
I know. I don't understand why.
Did they not need running time for the rest of the show?
Well, you know, they need to eat up some time.
My favorite part, people need to look up Acapulco Heat on YouTube because you got to see the part where Fabio signs the clipboard. He's very important.
Well, yeah, he's signing for a big shipment.
He's approving of the Hemisphere Emergency Action Team spending, I guess.
Yes, he is the shipping receiving department.
Yes, I approve that. Here's my John Hancock. All right, this next is going in a weird place.
Yes, I don't want to talk about Hancocks. next DVD is Catch a Fire with Tim Robbins
and some
African guy.
Oh, I remember seeing the trailers to that, and you know what? It looks kind of good. Tim Robbins is a psycho guy.
There's a Nigerian saying that says, seize every opportunity as if it were your last.
Okay.
I guess that's a clip from the movie. It sounds pretty good.
From the director of Patriot Games in Clear and Present Danger comes
Would that
Catch
be Philip Noyce?
Yes, it would be. Noyce.
You know, that guy's a good director except for Sliver.
Yeah.
But, we all got to take a paycheck sometime, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This says it's a suspense thriller based on a true story set against a country in flames and two cultures at war. It's a gripping account of the spark that ignited a man and inspired a revolution and united a country. So, you know, that spark did a lot of stuff there.
Wow.
Be like a pit bull on a pant leg.
Yes, he's very determined.
Yes, he is.
The Comedians of Comedy live at the El Rey. And this is probably... The Comedians of Comedy is Patton Oswalt, Brian Posehn, Maria Bamford, and Zach Galifianakis. Mm-hmm. And these four just... it's absolutely hilarious. I would love to see them live, but...
I would too.
This is the second best thing. You get a DVD of their entire live performances.
That is cool, because I've seen the little the film they did on Showtime.
Yeah.
The special, or I don't even know what it was. It was a documentary or something. That was hilarious.
Yeah, they did the documentary, and they also did a TV show where they kind of... It was like an extended version of the documentary.
The little clips they show of their... stand-up was great. Great stuff.
I'm a huge fan of Brian Posehn.
He's so fun.
I like Patton Oswalt a lot. And Zach Galifianakis is just bizarre.
Yeah, I love his stuff on the piano.
Because he's just crazy.
Right. He does the great stuff with the piano. They're all very talented guys.
Next film is Farce of the Penguin. This is a film produced, written, and directed... by Bob Saget. They've basically taken old clips, stock footage of penguins in Antarctica, like the movie March of the Penguins, and overdubbed them with a comedic story.
Yikes. So
meet Carl and Jimmy, two cold penguins on a desperate mission to get themselves some hot booty. After years of empty one-night stands, Carl wants more than a piece of penguin tail. He wants the love of the beautiful Melissa. Now it's up to Jimmy to help his neurotic friend win her heart and find his dream girl. So, I mean, I gotta see this. I just have to see what they did.
One thing about the America's Funniest Home Videos when Bob Saget was on there is I hated when he did the voiceovers to the videos. Is it going to be like that?
No, I think this is like they tried to actually do a movie. And what's crazy about this, though, is it's got some really great comedians doing it. It's, Bob Saget, you know, he's funny, but he's not a real
jerk.
But Tracy Morgan and Lewis Black do voices in it. And the narrator, like in March of the Penguins, it was, what's his name? Morgan Freeman. For this, they have Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay, I'll check it out.
The next... DVD is a continuation in a set. It's Benny Hill, The Complete and Unadulterated, The Hill's Angels Years, where it's, I guess it's from 1986 to 1989, so that was really kind of his last hurrah of craziness. If you're a fan of Benny Hill, you might want to pick it up for $30.
Hey, who isn't? As a kid, I watched that show, and like the sexual content just kind of goes over your head when you're a kid, and then when you see it later on when you're a little bit older, you're like, hey, wait a second.
It was funny, and the sexual stuff was just a bonus.
Yeah, I was like, what? There's a lot of women in lingerie on this show.
And you gotta love Yakety Sax.
All right, Benny Hill, I'll pick that up. What else we got?
This next one is really important. I think everyone needs to pick it up. It's Gymkata.
Oh my God, are you shitting me?
No. The world champion, Kurt Thomas, the master of Gymkata.
He was a master of Gymkata.
Yes.
Man, that movie rocks the hizzy.
Screw the small judo man.
No, that's Gymkata man to you, sir. There's a part where he's in the land of the crazies, going through a town where everyone's crazy, and there's a part where a guy sticks his hand down, and then he chops his own hand off and goes, oh! He's like, holy crap, I really am in the land of the crazies.
I just liked the bars that he did, the Olympic stuff.
Oh, there's a part when the pommel horse?
Yeah.
There's a pommel horse-like object right in the town square when he's being attacked by all the guys, so he does his cool pommel horse routine, kicking all the guys around. Oh my God, that was so friggin' awesome.
And then all of a sudden they're in Carabel, like they're overseas.
Yes.
On the Caspian Sea.
I don't even remember the plot to that movie.
There was no plot. It was just a bunch of... He has to hunt down the axe-wielding killer of his friend, and he's jumping over walls and balancing on stairs and doing jumps and backward jumps. It's just really, really bad. And do you remember the love interest was this, like, really bizarre-looking Filipino girl?
No, I don't remember the love interest. genius.
I loved the sickle fight that he had in the woods with the guy.
You want to see me kick some ass? I don't fucking karate.
Like the guy had the blindfold on. He's swinging the sickles around.
Oh my God, that movie is genius. Gymkata, pick it up, everybody. Gymkata rocks. Definitely
made absolutely no sense. And next DVD is Flyboys. It's from Dean Devlin, producer of Independence Day and The Patriot. And it's like a World War I biplane fighter movie. And that's really cool to me because I'm fascinated by biplane dogfights and stuff. I just think that's so cool. I haven't seen this, but it should be cool.
When I see a trailer for something like this, the first thing I think into my head is, oh, man, the sound is probably going to kick ass.
Oh, yeah,
it is. Because I'm a huge fan of just soundtracks to films like the planes flying around your head and explosions. That ought to be a lot of fun.
It's like a really, really lively surround mix on something.
Yeah.
It's just so fun to watch.
Like just the holosonic, I guess what they call it, the holosonic imagery. You close your eyes and you feel like planes are flying around your head. That's what I want. And I'll see that just for that. That'll kick ass.
This movie, the effects and everything look awesome. I mean, it has James Franco in it who...
I've heard that... you go to see it for the dogfights, you know, not so much the kind of very, what I've heard is it's very stereotypical kind of story. Farm boy who shows up and everyone thinks he's going to suck and he proves his worth and all that kind of stuff.
The next DVD is one I'm going to have to pick up, and I think it'll be my second dip on it, but this is just too cool. It's The Passion of the Christ Definitive Edition. It's a two-disc set with the two different versions of the movie, the original theatrical cut, the recut version that still was an R rating, but it was just less violent. But the thing that's really cool here is that it's got an enhanced viewing mode featuring biblical footnotes, filmmaker commentary with Mel Gibson, cinematographer Caleb Deschanel, and the editor John Wright. It's got a production commentary. It's got a theologian commentary with Mel Gibson, Father William J. Fulco, Gary Mastasix, John Baruneck, a musical commentary with John Debney, who scored the film. It's got documentaries about it with insights into like the artistic inspiration of the film,
it's in
Mel
the Bible.
Gibson's direction. cinematography, score. I mean, just it is loaded with some really, really cool features. And it's only $20, so I'm going to have to get it. I would love to get this in a high-definition disc, but it's Fox, so it'll probably be a Blu-ray.
Oh.
But when it comes out, I'm going to have to get it. Because I own the digital VHS, which is 1080i high-definition.
Oh, okay.
And it is one of the most gorgeous films I've ever seen. The movie is one of the most amazing things I've seen in my life. I've never seen direction like that. The storytelling, everything about it.
It's just a well-made film, yeah.
Yeah. Next DVD is Open Season. It's a animated film from Sony Pictures Studios.
I like to kill deer.
Okay, well.
Great. Thank you, David Lynch. This deer is actually played by Ashton Kutcher, so you would probably want to kill him.
I would enjoy killing that deer. I guess it's right.
But supposedly...
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
Jesus!
It's not a horrible film, from what I understand. It's kind of like Sony's version of Over the Hedge, I think.
Okay.
But from what I understand, this just came out on Blu-ray also, and it's one of the most amazing-looking high-definition transfers that have been released so far on
wow.
the high-def format.
You know, because I'm going to say that regular DVD of these computer-animated movies looks pretty amazing by itself.
Yeah,
I can imagine for the high-def to look even better, probably looks like a window where you can just touch them or something.
It really does.
That's really incredible. We've been watching a lot of Over the Hedge. And we just watched Monsters, Inc. All those are so incredible. And that's just standard definition.
And when you have a really good set like you got, 480p. It makes it look even better. Yeah.
That'll be awesome. So I can't wait to finally watch something in 1080p.
Oh, I can't wait until you can get enough money to get a HD DVD player or something.
Oh, yeah.
It'll just blow your mind. The sound, the picture. The next DVD is a film that I think we saw a trailer to. It's called The Motel, and if you remember the trailer, it was kind of a chubby Chinese kid that lived at a hotel, and he would walk around and interact with all the people that lived there. I remember seeing the trailer, and it looked really interesting, and the thing that makes me want to know more about it is it's from the guys that did that Me and You and Everyone We Know, The Good Girl, and Chuck and Buck.
Okay.
And those three are all good movies, and I'm just really interested in this. I'm going to have to look for the trailer, but if anybody else liked those movies, they'll probably like this one also, and you might want to check it out on Netflix or something, because it looked interesting.
Okay.
That's the only reason I mention it. The next film is John Cena in The Marine.
Nice.
And from what I understand, this is just a really horrible movie, but it's filled with just ass-kicking and explosions.
You know, I've heard some bad things about John Cena.
He can cry his little eyes out. I'd feel like a piece of garbage, like about that big, like a 5-cent recycling can. That's what you can
cycling.
Do in Berkeley crap town.
Recycling can.
Cycling clown. So drunk.
So that's what I've heard about John Cena.
Yes, he is pathetic, like a cycling clown.
He's a Cro-Magnon Matt Damon, I think we've established.
Yeah, he looks like a Cro-Magnon Matt Damon.
He looks like Matt Damon with water on the brain.
Yeah. Like he spent a little too much time in the birth canal.
Yeah.
Next what DVD... is a classic Michael Crichton film that he wrote and directed.
Oh boy.
And that's Looker. Remember this
Jesus.
One with Albert Finney and Susan Day?
Yes, I do. I'm going to go ahead and say it as a piece of shit is what that movie is.
I remember this film from when I was a kid, and it freaked me out.
What?
I didn't understand what the hell was going on.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you there.
It was just bizarre.
That girl has got it.
A lot of people really like this
movie. What was that weird light stick gun? What the hell?
Yeah, I can't explain any of it to you.
You know, I gotta admit, I saw it as a kid too, and I don't think I remember what the hell was going on. I just remember it being blinded by a light stick gun or something.
Yeah, it's like, it was a light gun. It was something. You know what this movie reminded me of was I could never distinguish this movie with that Tom Selleck movie that had Gene Simmons in it.
Runaway.
What is Runaway?
Retarded.
These two movies were like identical for me.
I love Runaway with Gene Simmons
and the robot spiders and Kirstie Alley.
Oh, remember the robot spiders would like inject acid into you or something?
There was that great scene at the end there, and like the elevator that in the construction scene. Remember the robot that he had that would put his kid to sleep?
Oh yeah. Oh, I just remember the scene where his bullets would know your body temperature, so they would chase you like heat-seeking bullets. And there was a scene where they go through a pipe, and as a kid, I was like, "Bad ass!
Yeah. Look at that pipe!
It flew through a pipe. How did they film that?"
You know what's great about Runaway is once you get your HD TiVo hooked up and your new dish up, HDNet Movies has been showing the shit out of it.
All right, and it's got a great Jerry Goldsmith soundtrack with where he has like keyboard. He used synthesizer in it.
Mm-hmm. So can see that in full Dolby Digital surround in high definition.
Oh,
and it looks really good for its age. The next film is one that I think we covered. It's a film called Unknown. And it's about a group of guys that wakes up in a warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
And supposedly a couple of them are bad, some of them are good. But it's Jim Caviezel, Greg Kinnear, Bridget Monaghan.
Jeremy Sisto.
Yeah, Joe Pantoliano, Barry Pepper, and Peter Stormare.
That's an awesome cast.
Yeah, and I really want to see it. It's only like 80 minutes long, so it's got to be tight.
Yeah, what it is they all wake up, they all have amnesia, and some are the bad guys and some are the good guys being held captive, and they don't remember who anyone is, so they're all paranoid and don't know who's good or who's bad. It sounds very interesting.
Yeah, I was going to try and download it today, but I couldn't find a good
source. I'm wondering if
this
was like a stage play first, because I think it takes place in one location.
I bet you it probably was, or it was like maybe like a student thing, and
right,
the guy got the funding to make it. Next DVD, I don't know if you're going to remember this, but I remember it because it reminded me of like the Death Wish 3 type movie.
Oh.
It's called Vigilante with Robert Forster and Fred Williamson. It says, New York City factory worker Eddie Marino, played by Robert Forster, is a solid citizen and regular guy until the day a sadistic street gang brutally assaults his wife and murders his child.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, I know. You thought it would only happen to Charlie Bronson. But when a corrupt judge sets the thugs free, Eddie goes berserk and vows revenge. Now there's a new breed of marauder loose on the city streets, enforcing his own kind of law. His justice is swift, his methods are violent, and he is the vigilante. So basically, it's just a ripoff from the Death Wish movies.
Hey, sold. I want to check this out. I'm a huge fan of the guy going out to get revenge, blowing dudes away with shotguns movies.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what's great is Blue Underground is the studio that's releasing this, and they go all out with these old exploitation films. They have a audio commentary with the stars, you know, Robert Forster, Fred Williamson. It's in Dolby Digital EX51, DTS ES61. I mean, they have gone back and really given this thing amazing treatment. They're like the Criterion of exploitation films, Blue Underground. Next DVD is an actual entire set called Viva Pedro. It's the Almodovar collection. You know, Pedro Almodovar,
right?
Writer director.
He's got quite a following.
Some of his films are really bizarre and hard to watch, but some of them are just absolute genius. Like, this set includes Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, All About My Mother, which is an incredible movie, Talk to Her, which is another really, really great movie, The Flower of My Secret, Live Flesh, Law of Desire, Matador, which is a great movie, and Bad Education, which is a incredibly bizarre but engaging film.
He uses Penelope Cruz a lot in his films, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and you know, he's really known for his sensuality of his films. He loves using women, especially Penelope Cruz in his films, but the way he handles women in his films, it's just so, I don't want to say erotic, but he gives them a strength and a dignity that most films don't.
Right. He respects the women.
Yeah, so it's very, very good. And I'm really looking forward to seeing his newest film, Volver, which I believe Penelope Cruz was nominated for a Best Actress. And
yeah.
A lot of people see Penelope Cruz in American films, and she's got that really thick accent with broken English.
Or they see her in Bandidas or something.
Yeah, but in her native tongue, she is an incredible actress.
You know, she's not getting the material she deserves, I'm thinking, when
yeah,
she's here.
Yeah, you know, in the American material, you know, she just doesn't come out for her.
It's like, well, we have this housekeeper role with the heart of gold.
Yeah. So, but if you love Pedro Almodovar, you got to pick this up. And I'm really short on cash, but I need to, you know, this thing is like $80, but I have to get it this Tuesday.
See, I thought the name of that film was Volver.
No, Volver.
Like Revolver.
Revolver.
Rip your tongue out, are we clear?
And that's DVDs for January 30th, 2007.
The hell you say? It's already over?
Yes, it's over. I'm sorry. The studios just didn't feel like releasing anymore.
Well, that's quite all right.
Wow!
And you know, I missed a story in the news that I want to mention. There's a company in Durham, North Carolina, that has actually created a donut that carries as much caffeine as two cups of coffee.
Nice!
So if you don't like coffee and you love pastries, I mean, come on.
Get some donuts.
Yeah. I got to go down there and get me one of those.
Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
No problem. I enjoy it.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And scene.
Everybody, that was episode 67 of Nowhere in Mulberry. We took a week off, but we're back, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Sorry Vanessa wasn't here. Maybe she'll be around next week. Couldn't get a hold of her. What am I supposed to do? The show must go on. Especially after we skipped a week. We couldn't do 2 weeks in a row.
Inside a riot.
Right, and pretty soon what happens is like, you know what? Let's go ahead and not do it this week either. My heart's not in it. And then we're not doing the show anymore, and we've pod-faded. So we can't have that.
No.
Like, let me ask people this. If we do show or we just talk about anything, would you listen? Without even TV or film? Maybe we'll do that sometime when our heart's just not in it, and Smallville has broken our hearts, and we just got nothing to say. Maybe
we could do a show where we just sit on our asses and flip through TV, make fun of stuff.
Yeah. Or we could watch Smallville and do a commentary to it.
Now, that would be cool. If we could pull the technology together to do a commentary on something, that would be great.
That would be pretty cool. And just maybe put it on YouTube or something. Now, if you enjoy our show and you'd like to drop us a voicemail, much like Ed, why don't you dial this number, 1-206-202-3491, leave a voicemail, we'll play it on the show, and we'll love it. If you would like to write us an email and tell us stuff, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send that to me, and I will read it and enjoy it and love it. What do you have to say about that? That'd be awesome. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. That's where you could download our show. You'll also find a link to our brand spanking new forum that we need people to join because apparently the word hasn't gotten out and no one has.
There's five members and
join our forum.
At nimforum.com also.
And Bill, I went to the chat room and it's expired. Our chat room is expired.
Oh, has it really?
Yeah.
I'll have to. You know what? I wasn't really impressed with that Java software. So let me look out for a number, a different chat program, and we'll get that started up again. Because I really enjoyed that.
I think it's good to experiment around. All we got to do is change the link on the site.
Yeah.
And you know what, Bill? I actually have an email from a listener right now, and I'm going to read it on the show. How do you feel about
that? Excellent.
Yeah. This is from our boy, Chaim. I don't know how to say your name. I'm going to say it is Chaim.
That sounds right to me.
He wrote, I hate to be one of those people. You know the type. Where's the next podcast? It's late. When is it coming out? But here we are. We're back. Our buddy Chuck Coletta, our boy, he was like, love the podcast. You guys do a great job every week. I'd love to hear the Nim Gang's reviews. Here's some shows that you guys may want to discuss sometime. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, The Office, I Love New York on VH1, and Extras. Ooh, Bill, I don't know if you want to talk about Extras.
You know what? The second season of Extras is a lot better than the first.
I've seen a part of one episode and I laughed. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I've never been able to get through an episode of that. I love the hell out of The Office. The Office is one of my favorite shows. And I don't know.
Consistently one of the funniest shows on television.
And I don't know why, but sometimes shows that are special to me, I keep to myself and I don't talk about on the show. It took me a long time to talk about Friday Night Lights.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Until like 10 episodes in.
I love The Office. Perhaps I'll start, playing a little clip. It's almost like you got to see it to laugh. If we were like, remember that one time and it was really funny? Have a good one. Thanks for listening. I'll see you later, Bill. Hopefully we'll have Steven back. I hope he survives his little date. You never know. He probably even nodded off on the date, so it's not going to be a very good one.
Open your eyes, you crazy son of a bitch!
Exactly. Thank you, Lex. I'll see you next week, Bill.
It's hasta mañana.
Good night, everybody. Good times. What am I saying? I don't know.
Yeah. Now this is podcasting.